He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
Good morning. So this past weekend, I did something I hadn't done in over 40 years, which is an indication of how old I am, I guess. I went to Lebanon Valley Speedway, and I do not know if you are familiar with Lebanon Valley Speedway. Are you?
Yes. Jill?
You are. Have you been there?
No.
No?
It wouldn't have been something that I would have done.
Okay, so we're lucky enough to live in an area where we have another famous racetrack with Lime Rock, which is the northeast corner for the northeast major racetrack for road racing. Lebanon Valley is a totally different beast altogether. It's an oval track. It's a dirt track, and it's where we see big American iron run around in circles all evening long. And they have races pretty much every Saturday night throughout the summer. It's a very kid-friendly, family-friendly place. The racing is great. You need to put earbuds in your ears if you don't want to come back deaf like I am right now. And it was just a great experience. And I took my nephew there, who's here from Europe, and it was definitely something really different. And it's just one aspect of how we enjoy cars and motorsports in particular. And I know we don't talk a lot about motorsports all that much anyway on this show. But this is also just a reminder that in a couple of weeks we have the last of the big three events at Lime Rock with the Historics Festival, which should be another opportunity for people to get to enjoy very special cars.
And I think that people forget that there is an actual audience for this.
Well, there probably is, and I mean, quite a few people.
I'm not talking about. I mean, the classic weekend at Lime Rock is always hugely attended. I wasn't talking about that as much as the motorsport.
Yeah, motorsports is popular. I mean, we know, and I'm not a huge NASCAR fan, but we know that it is a very popular form of spectator sport, bar none. We have, I don't know how many events NASCAR has a year on a national basis. The main series, the Xfinity series, tracks probably has probably 20, 30 races a year. There's probably one every weekend from January until November. They actually have too many, and the whole series is having issues and is facing challenges. But that's a whole other thing.
Do you think that people just grow up with it? Is that, or is it like baseball, football?
Yes and no, I guess. But it's a spectator sport, and it's also a participant sport, obviously.
Right.
And I find it when I go to racetracks, it's pretty much two different breeds, and you will see people who among spectators, whether it's Lime Rock or Lebanon Valley or any other racetrack, who just follow certain race series or certain drivers who have never been on a racetrack before. And on the other hand, you have people who are, club racers who have cars and who go to track days on a regular basis and work on their cars in their garage and haul them to racetracks. And again, whether that be road racing at tracks like Lime Rock, like Watkins Glen, or on a dirt track like Lebanon Speedway, there are plenty of people participating in the sport as well. So I just thought, if you have nothing to do on a Saturday night, we're running out of summer Saturdays, but Lebanon Speedway is definitely a place to go.
Would people just automatically get, just get up and go to that?
You can. It's an hour away from where we are, ticket prices are quite affordable. We decided to splurge and buy for $16. We had air conditioned lodge seats in the tower overlooking the main street at the Speedway. It was just a great experience.
Yeah.
All the food vendors sell fries, dogs, hamburgers, and beer, and you have to go and change your dollar bill. You have to get dollar bills. All the vendors only take dollar bills, which is pretty crazy in this day and age, but it's pretty cool. It was quite an experience. Anyway, so that's motorsports for this week until we get to Lime Rock in a couple of weeks. As we move into August, we know we're getting closer to these August deals that unfortunately Robin is not here to talk
right, because isn't
through.
It the year model changeover,
it's
which
the,
is always
year
so
model change.
Because...
And there are quite a few deals going on, and I just pulled up a couple of websites that were pretty explicit in detailing what the manufacturer incentives were. And Cars.com has a pretty good walkthrough of the different deals that different manufacturers are offering. I also found something on U.S. News and World Report.
So what do you do? Go there and then look. But you've got, I mean, again, it's got to be.
I mean, it all depends. Are you buying a car because you're looking for a deal, or are you buying a certain car that you want to buy?
But it also you have to have a framework. You know, you do this either from a what I'm going to call a gearhead standpoint, or you're do it from a, or likely you're not going to do it.
There are Sears deals out there, a lot of 0% financing on you know, 60 months, 72 months. I mean, the usual gimmicks we see at this time of year and throughout the year, because car deals are not just a once-a-year opportunity. I mean, pretty much every month, the end of every quarter, the end of every month is when people, when car companies and dealers tally their sales. And if you walk into a dealership on the last day of the month, that is the day you will get the best deal, everything else being equal, the inventory being the same as the day before, talking to the same people, everything else being equal. If you walk in on the last day of the month, it is statistically proven that car deals will be better. And if you start walking away at 4 o'clock in the afternoon out of a dealer showroom on the last day of the month, they are probably going to chase you through the parking lot. and if you want to play that game, you know, that's the time to do it. End of August, you get the new cars coming out, the new model, year models. What's the difference between a 2019 and a 2020? For most cars, not a lot, but every year, every 5, 6, 7 years, every car model goes through a life cycle, and you get a new model coming out. So when you go from a quote-unquote old
model. Is it every 5 years?
Years
and years ago, again, before you were born, before you went to the Speedway, it used to be like every X there was an adjustment because there were people who basically got a new car every.
Yeah, if you look at manufacturers, I the cycles change. Subaru has a pretty identifiable model cycle that is about 5 years. And you look at right now, the new Subaru Outback is coming out, the 2020. Well, the last one that came out was a 2015. Last year, they had the new Forester. It was a 2019. The previous generations came out in 2014. So they're pretty much on a five-year plan. Some manufacturers, and I would say the German manufacturers, have a little longer life cycle for their cars. Mercedes, VW typically have had longer cycles, more like in the 10-year range, with a what we call a refresh, you know, halfway through the life cycle. So they'll have a 10-year life cycle, and after 5 years, you know, cosmetically the car will change. And obviously every year you get a few upgrades and a few changes, but they are usually minor and not noticeable. But, you know, every 5 to 10 years, you will get a brand new model. Right now the new models, you know, the Subaru comes to mind, the new Subaru Outback, the new Audi A6, And I'm trying to think of others. If you have can think of any yourself, Volvo no. just came out with the you know new XC60, new Volvo V60, the new wagon, the S60 sedan and the V60 wagon came out last year. So you know if you don't mind buying an older car, you can probably get a better deal yet. Interestingly, and Robin had mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, some manufacturers are still advertising 2018 models. And I was looking at Ford's website, and they're advertising a 2018 Focus, which is pretty mind-boggling. You would think that a car like that would have long been gone by now.
Is the 18 significantly less than the 19 significantly less than the
20? I don't even know that there is a 2019 Focus, to be honest. Who knows? And probably not too many people care, but they're advertising 2018, so there are inventories of
those cars.
I'm
just thinking because I know a kid, and he is out west, and he's gone to lease a car because he can't buy a car, and it's just it's not going to end well. But
if you're leasing a car because you cannot buy one,
no. The deal for buying one is so much worse than the deal for leasing one, and so even the limitations of leasing. And again, this is a completely different state, so mm-hmm. all the way out west. The limitations of leasing, which would normally preclude leasing, become palatable because of the deal that they're offering on the same car to buy it. And that's just – I mean, that's just messed up.
It's just totally messed up. Some pundits in the auto industry are you know – warning us that you know we're going to not good things with you know 72-month lease financing, 84-month financing. Basically, if you're financing a car in 84 months, you're going to be underwater for a long time. And when you're going to want to trade that car in after 4 or 5 years, the amount of cash you're going to have to put down to get a new car is going to be insane.
It becomes undoable.
It becomes undoable. So you're throwing the ball down the road. What my counter argument to that, and I have said, you know, cars are better and better, are getting better. The quality of cars, I think, is better than it ever has been. And so it's not unreasonable to keep a car 72 or 84 months. You know, but who wants to do that if you know. And some people are fine with that. I mean, I know people who drive 10-year-old cars.
11-year-old cars?
11-year-old cars. Some people who drive 11-year-old cars should think of trading them in, but yeah. But and some people love their 10-year-old cars.
Yeah. And absolutely. But what becomes – and some people go and buy 20-year-old cars after their 10-year-old cars.
Right.
Simply because it's depends on what the car is needed for.
Exactly.
But again, in this particular situation that I'm thinking of that I just encountered, what the car is needed for, you can't. They're apparently offering some sort of waiver for mileage, some pre-something that if you go over the mileage, you're not going to be clipped. I don't know what that is.
The appeal to me for, you know, whether it's a lease on a new car or, you know, 0% financing or whatever, the fixed percentage financing or free maintenance is the appeal in buying a new car, purchasing a new car, getting a new car is that you know you're going to drive a number of miles without having unexpected expenses. And from a budget standpoint, it somewhat makes it easier if you can fork out that monthly payment. And also you mentioned, you know, the use your car is going to be put to. I mean, if you are just driving locally, I always tell people, if you're driving locally, you can afford to have an old, you can afford in a sense, you can do with an older car. If you are on the road a lot, on highways, if you're going to be on I-95 or going to the city.
Then you definitely want a newer car.
You want
absolutely.
A newer car.
No
I mean,
question.
Pretty straightforward.
And again, I'm just referring to this out west situation. The monthly payment and the amount of time that between the lease and the purchase is makes buying it undoable, and that I find I mean I, once again, I'm old enough to remember that when leasing was an option, not a...
The bigger problem for manufacturers, I think, is let's not forget that sales are slowing down, and not just in our country. The U.S. market is the second biggest auto market in the world, and China is the number one market with well over 20 million sales a year versus our annual 16 to 17 million.
And is that a real number?
I mean, yeah, it's a real number. I mean, 17 million, we're hovering between 16 and 17 million. We calculate sales on a monthly basis on an annualized basis. So we will say, well, in July we sold six, and I'm just
making up
the number, but we'll say we sold 16.8 million vehicles. No, we didn't. We sold a number that equates to annual sales of 16.8 or 17.1 or 17.2. But our annual sales are around 17 million. And I'm not going to be slightly lower this year. China has the same problem there. I forget the exact number. I think it's around 23 million sales a year in China. And it could be 28, could be 25, but I think it's around 23. It's more than here. It's in the 20s. But their sales are down 5%. And a lot of manufacturers, and surprisingly, American manufacturers, GM, FCA, and Ford, have big interests in China. And when the Chinese market starts slowing down, it becomes a huge problem. And the third biggest market is Europe. And I think their market is in lower teens, like 12, 13 million annual sales.
And these are, again, annualized through equation that is known only to car manufacturers. And
so with sales slowing down, there's one of two things happening. You know, car manufacturers are trying to peddle cars, keep their sales at the actual level, and they'll do anything to make that happen. And that's where you get, crazy car loans, prices start going down. So, yes, there's an opportunity from a buyer's perspective, but long term, is the situation...
The problem is with these offers you then have, as is so often the case, you're just making a bigger problem in a couple of weeks a few years.
I was going down to New York with somebody yesterday, and going by a car lot, and he goes, "Oh, that's crazy, the number of cars there." And you're going, "Yeah." And I was thinking about the same thing. You know, we're mid-August, and that parking lot was full of cars. And I remember times where at this time of year on dealer lots, you should see the grass. I mean, or the asphalt, whatever's on where there used to be a car.
There
should be some space.
Before
the new cars come in.
Or people have just gotten smart and they're waiting for the end of the month.
Well, the reality is cars are staying close to 80 days on average on dealer lots. And even Ford's F-150, which is the best-selling vehicle in the country, in July, I think the inventory, the number of days F-150s stayed on lots was 82 days, which is at the way top of the list of vehicles sitting on lots.
What did they used to? You have any sense? I just compare.
It's a vehicle that sells well. I mean, it's the number one selling vehicle. So that if anything, those numbers should be on the lower side. And lower side is like in the 50, 60 day range.
That's what I was just wondering. So between 50, 60 and 80.
And so now they're at 80 or 82 days. And cashback deals on Ford F-150s are pretty substantial, which is surprising. Again, it's the number one selling vehicle in the country.
But you got to... But they're not cheap. We are down to the safety moments of the show. And the reason that I want to talk about, I mean, I'm sure you've got some things to say.
I do, but go ahead.
But without being cute. But people really need to stop speeding. Period. I could add, especially around small towns and on roads that they have no business.
Okay, so do you want to? You're saying this with something in mind, so go.
No, it's just.
Well, I think generally, I mean, I like driving. We all know. I mean, people who know me know I like driving fast. But there's a place and a time to have speeds that are slightly higher than, let's say, the norm. And there are places where there's absolutely no excuse for speeding. In some of our little towns, I see posted speed limits of 30 miles an hour, and you're lucky that you can go through at 15 miles an hour at certain times of day. And that's just common sense. You have to, whatever, wherever you are going, you're traveling, if you cannot make a quick stop for what it becomes a predictable obstacle, and going through a small town, you have to be able to predict that some pedestrian is going to cross the road outside.
Slowly.
Slowly. Outside of the marked pedestrian crossings, and even if they shouldn't, and
yeah.
I try not to be. I mean, I'm the first person to actually stop when I see somebody coming to a pedestrian crossing, and you know, it's the law, but it's also common sense. On the other hand, if I'm a pedestrian and I see traffic coming, I try to stay back a little bit, because why force a 20-ton truck to come to a stop if I can just wait a second or two before getting close to the
once again
crossing.
Common sense. I'm all for people being conscientious all the way. I just noticed that on roads that people aren't necessarily familiar with, and you know, that makes it more difficult. You know, they just I have it on Music Mountain. You know, people come whipping that should not. And I don't know whether it's not knowing, you know, one of the things about having the Google Maps or whatever you use is that you're always safely, you know where you're going, so you don't have to notice where you're going.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, a lot of quote-unquote locals, when you know the back roads, I mean, I know I am tempted, and I'm going to be, you know, careful here. You're tempted to drive faster on roads you know, on back roads you know. I'm extremely careful on back roads I don't know. And speaking of speed limits, I think New York State, for instance, has a great policy of 55 speed limits pretty much anywhere and everywhere, which is a state law. And some of those roads are really fun at 55 miles an hour. And when you see a yellow sign, a warning sign with a speed limit that comes sometimes down only 5 miles an hour, it is an indication that, oh, you know, we better be careful here. Or if you come from a 55, you know, white sign, so a speed limit, to a warning sign of a 35, you darn well know that you better slow down. And and I think New York State has got it right as far as advertising posted speed limits. And likewise, when you get close to a small town, they will have a 30 sign or 35 sign. And usually there is a welcome committee there if you try to come in a little faster than that. Ask my daughter, who went to school upstate New York. She found that out the hard way. And we've all been there. And then you end up in a little town court discussing speeding tickets.
Right.
Anyway, what I wanted to mention on the safety side is, and going up and down Route 22 on busy times, you know, on Friday nights or Sunday afternoons, passing. Passing is something that is hard to learn because you have to evaluate the distance you need to make a pass. And, you know, it's physics and mathematics. And if you are, I mean, I'm not saying don't pass, but if you pass, you need to make darn sure you're going to be able to execute the pass. And my advice is, once you start making that pass, you better pound that accelerator and make it as quickly as possible. And I wish I could talk more about it.
I'm going to hope that you will talk more about it next week, because last week when I was talking about it, you said, oh, no, everybody should just do it the way they're doing it. I'm not sure about that. But at all events, no, because that's exactly right. You either have to commit and do it, or
you have to commit it and do it. And do it. Absolutely.
He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.